Good morning, everyone. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Thank you.
I know what some of y'all thinking. You again? I didn't make the schedule. I'm just following it. Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone was able to enjoy their Thanksgiving. Hope you enjoyed your food, your family, friends. And we were traveling ourselves. I'm thankful that we made our flight because Lord knows we probably shouldn't have. But I'm grateful that God gave us some traveling grace. And so I wanted to start off with some stories. Have some other great brothers being able to share theirs, and I won't take too much of their time. From the beginning of my, I call my OG family, the family I started with, mom, dad, brother, sister, I'm thankful for them because one thing that I always share is when you're with God, you're not this half person. You're not incomplete. And I know it started from my parents loving me as a complete person. They made sure that I wasn't lacking, you know, emotionally, not just the physical food and things, but emotionally acceptance that they gave me those things and I didn't have to look for it in other places. I'm thankful for them because I know it wasn't until middle school I didn't understand the idea of a person having a different last name from both their parents. I remember when I first came to someone, a close friend of mine, which I won't, you know, use his real name, but his last name was Blue. But I remember his mom's last name was Red. And so I was like, what's happening? Like, I didn't know that the idea of that existed. You know, my parents gave me an example that I can follow, and I'm thankful that they let me see that basically all the days of my life while living with them, showing that it's not perfect, but it can work. They introduced me to God, and my mom was an usher. She still is an usher. My dad's a deacon. And so I grew up in the church, and I had a relationship with God. And, you know, my knowledge may have been lacking, you know, as an eight-year-old. What do I know? But I understood the gravity of giving my life to God. And it was because of them. And I'm thankful for them. And I think of my family. I won't embarrass my wife this time. You know, I embarrassed her last week, so I'm going to go to my kids today. My kids on this vacation, it was something, a little backstory. When Michelle found out we was pregnant, we was excited. Michelle surprised me with a gift, and she got it on video, and then I was excited. When Michelle was pregnant with Malia, which we didn't know was a girl at the time, it was kind of like this, a dark, gloomy day. I woke up, and Michelle said, "Jaylen's, I think I'm pregnant." "You pregnant?" It wasn't the same excitement as for Mahogany. We weren't not trying to, but we weren't trying to, right? And so it's like, well, I guess we have to adjust. And once we found out it was a girl, we was excited. And I said it because I want Mahogany to have a friend that she don't have to aggravate her daddy all the time. I don't have to do everything. You go bother your sister sometimes, right? But no. This trip, we was going to bed, they was in an air mattress, and I'm in my bed, and my youngest would stand up and tickle my feet and fall and just throw herself back on the bed, and Mahogany was just cackling, laughing. Just laughing. Thought it was the funniest thing in the world. It's at my expense, but I was smiling too, ear to ear, you know, smiling, because I'm thankful that they was playing with each other. They're now seeing each other as people, not just, "Oh, you just here? Okay. Mom, Dad, hey, I want you." But now they're starting to look for each other. They're starting to play with each other. And I had to be the mean parent. After 20 minutes of letting them play, I had to get out the bed and say, "You go lay down." And, of course, they all curled up. And Mahogany, she listened. She just went straight to sleep. Malia looked at me. I looked at her. I laid in bed. And then next thing I hear, somebody get up and tickling my feet again. So if you worried about me, worry about the youngest one, because me and her is probably going to have the most beef. And this is one story I think everyone could get a laugh. I'm thankful for this one thing. I told my wife I had to share this. I am thankful for the Georgia versus Alabama game. Hear me out. If I text some people 2 weeks ago and say, hey, how are you doing? They might have responded, sorry, who is this? I don't have your number. But if I text them this week, oh, they know me by name. They're going to ask how my kid's doing, how you been. Because if you don't know, I'm a Georgia fan. I mean, just throughout the years, when I think of all the great games, how many brothers message me after so many losses of, hey, James, how you doing, man? Did you watch the game? How your kids doing? I mean, they just check on me. I mean, everybody know who I am on that week, right? You know, but at these past 2 years, I haven't heard from my brothers. They don't check on me anymore. They don't talk to me no more. And I'm like, man, but as soon as this week came up, I already got some people. Hey, James, man, what you doing Saturday? And so I'm thankful that this game had my brothers check on me. And I'm thankful for that because I enjoy the relationship, and it's been at my expense for most of the years I've been to Alabama. But I can honestly say I enjoy those times, and I'm picking on my brothers because they know who they are. It's usually the same few, but I am thankful for our relationship in that. And the final thing I wanted to kind of go, and I'm thankful for reading that scripture of being thankful. When I think of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, and I won't read the whole thing, we usually can resonate with being the child who got his inheritance and ran off. And then the loving father ran and got him back and hugged him and said, you know, let's have a banquet. But who I can relate to is the older brother. The brother who was mad that he did all this for the little brother and not for him. And for me, it's not anger. It's comparison of my salvation is not as good as their salvation. There are some beautiful stories that people have shared through Central. And, you know, honestly, I grew up, I sinned. I want to make sure I'm not perfect. I sinned. But there wasn't a real rebellious streak of me and God. And I look at some stories of how they just rebelled against God, and they rebelled, and then they finally accepted God's love for them. And I look at my story, I'm like, man, I don't have none of these points in my life. My salvation must not mean much. And I'm thankful God doesn't look at it that way. I'm thankful that God knows that I needed his son as much as the person I think needed it more. And I wanted to say this encouragement to those. It's funny, I hear all the time people say, I don't feel like worthy to come to church. I don't feel worthy to be here. And it's like, from someone on the opposite end, I didn't feel worthy because I felt like you guys got more of Christ than I did. And that's not true on either side. We all needed Christ, and I'm thankful that he saw fit to leave his throne to come save us. And I hope you guys can keep this same thankful mindset, not just on Thanksgiving weekend, but just every day. Thank y'all.
Morning, Central. For those that don't know me, my name's Sam Wright. I was a resident his way for 15 months. I'm still there as a staff, as a house manager. Today, I'm grateful for so much. It's hard to pick. So I battled with addiction for 20 years. And I'm not going to go into a whole life story. We don't quite have enough time. But so I'm most grateful for the knowledge that I've attained, the ability to overcome fears, such as standing up here speaking in front of you guys. Most people that know me know that I wouldn't be in front of three or four people, much less a group of people. The growth I've experienced, the love that I've come to have for myself and for others around me. It's a Christ-like love. It's a love that you have to learn for yourself before you can start giving it to other people. So ultimately, I am grateful for the Holy Spirit that God has blessed me with. everything else stems from that for me, where I'm at today. Fear no longer rules my life. I walk with confidence of who I am in Christ, who Christ says I am because I believe who he is. I'm grateful for the opportunity to stand here to express some sort of courage, not for you guys, but for me. I mean, this is, I'm standing here, and I feel good about it. I don't like it, right? But at the end of it, I will experience growth, and it shows something. Many people around me can see, not only on the inside, but the outside, of the change that I've gone through over the past year, year and a half. And this is something I can do for me. So I'm also grateful for the discipline, self-discipline that I've developed, the routines, the patterns, that I no longer live by what I feel. I don't do what I feel like doing. I do what I know I need to do each day to maintain my recovery, to continue my growth, to continue to help others now. It's not about me. This isn't my story. This is God's story. I get to play a main character, though. So I'm grateful for that. So in closing, I'm most grateful that God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Thank you all.
Hello. Second Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." I am most thankful for that very thing, my relationship with God, the salvation I have through Jesus Christ. When I die and I'm judged, anybody asks me why I'm there, I'm just going to point to that dude over there and say, he's the reason I'm here. There's nothing I did. I'm also grateful for this congregation has been so important to me for the last 8 years since I first came here. I'm grateful to the people here, the men here that I respect and admire, that I go to for wise counsel, especially the ones that have spent many a day over a lunch table with me, hearing about my week and hearing about my year and hearing about my decade, one thing at a time. I'm also grateful for my wife, Tracy. And I asked her, what should I say that I'm grateful for? And she said, well, let them know that I'm pushing you to be a better man, that I'm dragging you kicking and screaming before the Lord, you know, that I'm improving you every day. So thank you for that, baby. I appreciate that. The biggest thing in this last year and the year before that has been something that Tracy brought to my attention that she wanted to do, and that was to begin fostering. And I have to admit, it in the beginning, I did not want to do it. I fought it. We had, you know, kind of gotten our household back together, and we were on stable ground in just about every way, and I was comfortable and happy, and I was like, I don't want to, you know, why do I want to get out of my car? I'm happy the way we are. But she persisted, and I think at one point I realized that God was trying to get me to do something, and I was fighting him. And when I realized that, it scared me to death. And so I decided to be willing. And as a result, we've been fostering now for a couple of years, and it's been the greatest blessing I've ever had in my life that I can remember. We've, you know, of course we're, you know, a safe place for children, but we've also reached out to the parents in every situation, and you know, the Farises have joined, and Uptons have joined, and it's just been an amazing thing. And we had a Thanksgiving just for our fosters and their parents, and it was a beautiful thing. I'm telling you, it was really beautiful. And I'm grateful for those things. Probably most of all, I'm grateful for the love that we have for each other in this congregation. That's it.
Well, I enjoy hearing stories from people and their hearing about their family and so on. So my assignment was sort of to sum up what's been said and then maybe share a couple of points, so we'll do that. James is thankful for his family and his daughters, Georgia football, and his salvation, he mentioned. So, James, thank you for that. Sam shared his gratitude for his way and for the knowledge that he's gained from there and here in this congregation. One of the things that I feel his pain on is his fear of speaking in front of crowds. He said he was thankful for the Holy Spirit and that spirit of power and love and self-discipline. So, Sam, we thank you for that. Jim mentioned this most indescribable gift, which is salvation in Jesus Christ. He's thankful for this congregation and the support that he's gotten from it, for his wife Tracy, for his foster children, and mostly, he said, for the love that he gets and shares with people in this congregation. So thank you for those stories. I guess depending on when you think about it, you may answer the question, what are you thankful for, differently. This morning I would say that I'm thankful for the avenue of prayer, even though I must confess that I could do a lot more of it. We have an avenue of prayer with a God that can do anything, a God that knows everything. And when we pray to God, we know that He loves us so much, another quality, that no matter what we pray for, even if it's not what's best for us, He will answer that prayer in giving what is best for us, maybe not what we ask for. And so I'm thankful for that. I used to know, I can't remember now, but I know at least of one miracle in the Bible that's recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that miracle is Jesus feeding 5,000. And the verses say that it was 5,000 men plus women and children, plus his apostles. And in the account in John, it says that what they started with to feed all of those people was five, and in John it says small barley loaves of bread and two small fish. And the thing that Jesus did before he broke the bread and distributed it was he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks for that. Imagine that, 5,000 people out there, and you're going to feed them with five small loaves of bread and two small fish. And they ended up collecting more than they started with, right? And so if you look at that account in the book of John, that's in chapter 6, later in that same chapter, Jesus can say, I am the bread of life. And he could prove that he's the bread of life by feeding that many people with that little amount of food and gathering up more than he started with, right? So in addition to that, it's also recorded in two of the Gospels and also in all of the accounts of the Last Supper, and even in Paul's, Paul of course wasn't at the Last Supper, but he records it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and in his account, his recording that, where he quotes Jesus, in all of those accounts, all four times he feeds 5,000, all two times that are recorded where he feeds 4,000, all the accounts of the Lord's Supper, and even the one that Paul records after it happens, every time the first thing Jesus did before he broke the bread and distributed it was he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks. And just one more thought that I'll share and then we'll be finished. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And I think about all that we have to be thankful for, and I compare that to Christians in the first century. And if you think about the prosperity that we have, the quality of life that we have, the religious freedoms that we have, and you compare it to the little that they had in the first century and the persecutions that they had, not just from Rome, but also from Jewish unbelievers, we just have so much to be grateful for. It's just literally impossible for us, as we sing, to count our many blessings. There's just too many. So, thank you for hearing me, and we're going to stand now and have a song. If you have something that you'd like to share with the congregation, you can come forward. If there's something you need to confess, if you want to become a Christian, you can come forward now, speak to one of our elders as we stand and sing.
If you have a Bible, turn over to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. I'm going to read the first three verses and then skip down to verse 14 to finish out. Hear the word of the Lord. "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things." And if I were to continue to read verses 4 through 13, you would just see it piled on, all the things that the Israelites had done evil in the Lord's sight. And so summing it up in verse 12, he says, "Our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities, rebellion, and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God, inciting revolt and oppression, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. So justice is driven back and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has crumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found. And whoever shuns evil becomes a prey." Let me just stop for a moment. The songs that we sang this morning, "How Can It Be?" The song about the fount, those were songs of good news. Does this sound like good news? It sounds kind of bad, doesn't it? As it turns out, that's the way the Bible often works. The Bible tries not to take the bad news and just shove it over in the corner to run it up underneath the bed skirt. The Bible flatly acknowledges what the bad news is and our part in it, because it's only then that we can truly appropriate the good news. So here in the latter part of verse 15, we're going to start hearing a better side of this. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. According to what they have done, so he will repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their dues. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord. And from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, on the lips of your children and the lips of their descendant, from this time on and forever, says the Lord. What you start seeing in chapter 59 of Isaiah carries forward through the rest of the book. What you see is prophecy after prophecy of what Jesus is going to come and do in terms of fulfilling the arm of the Lord reaching salvation for his people. If this seems a little bit poetic or a little difficult to follow, you may wonder, well, why are we starting with the Old Testament to get to the Lord's Supper? At the very end of Luke chapter 24, Jesus starts summarizing his ministry, and these are some of the last words he speaks to his apostles, and he says that he wants to remind them of what is written in the Old Testament. In fact, he says, this is what's written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Or in the text we just read, it was Zion. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, which is the Holy Spirit we just read about, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. The reason, there's actually a number of reasons why one goes back to the Old Testament, but part of the reason for it is because you get in nugget form the things that the Lord most cares about. Sometimes you can be reading your Bible and you start seeing a lot of content and it's like, how do I make sense of it all? But when you see these Old Testament prophecies, what they tend to do is they tend to collapse a great deal of content and to help focus you on what's most important. What's most important is something that we are focusing on at this point. As we remember back on the death that Jesus died, the body that was slain, the blood that was spilled, we do this knowing that these events were prophesied hundreds of years before they happened, and that they focus on what's most core to our faith and have the most impact on our lives both now and forevermore. And so with these thoughts in mind, let's pray to the Lord. God, on this weekend where we give thanks to you for our many physical bounties, we also thank you for the spiritual bounty that we have and what Jesus accomplished, this arm of salvation that was yours, that was not too short to save, but that accomplished what you willed. We're so grateful to participate in that and grateful for the hope that we have. As we think about Jesus' body that was slain, and this emblem that we're taking that's a reflection of that, I pray that you would enable us to not only understand what you did for us, but also to consider the implication for our lives going forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue in prayer. Father, I don't like even getting a little scratch on my skin, knowing that it just hurts. And so to willingly go to death, knowing that the skin would be punctured and the blood would flow out, it's just very, very hard for me to process. God, I'm glad for the reminder, because otherwise I probably wouldn't think about it much. I'm glad for the reminder that of what Jesus did to accomplish the salvation on our behalf. Someone who is perfect, who didn't commit any of the sins that Isaiah spoke of, but was willing to offer himself on our behalf for the sins that were ours. Thank you for that sacrifice so much. In Jesus' name, amen.